We're still on lesson one. We should be over today. And we are still on lesson one, the overview of the book of Jonah. And when we read the story of Jonah, or when we tell it to our kids, may not be just a story, a fairy tale, because it's not. The Word of God, okay? Every story, every parable in God's Word points to God, okay? Every story of the Bible, everything in the Bible points to Jesus Christ, our Lord. Every story, every parable of the Bible points to the Holy Spirit in our lives, okay? So we need to be very careful. The book of Jonah has a story for us, had a story for them in his time, had a story in Jesus' time, and then it has a story for us in our time. So we need to be very careful in when we read the Bible. What is it telling me? And again, when we read the Bible should make a difference in our lives. The Word of God usually changes lives. Why? Because we either choose to obey Him or we choose to disobey Him. And as we get into Jonah, we saw that Jonah was negligent, okay? Jonah was not very faithful to the truth that he had received. When God told Jonah, go, Jonah said, no. And we can read that story, but sometimes in our lives, God tells us, go. And just like Jonah, sometimes we say, no. Why? Because when we disobey God, even as Christians, we'll see the woeful disaster that was awaiting Jonah because he disobeyed. Okay, in Revelation, he's talking about the tribulation. In Revelation 9:12, when he says, one woe is past, and behold, there comes two more hereafter. Woe. When you and I remember when we had a small house. We were about nine in my family. We had a big family. And I remember it was I had a little tricycle, one of those little red tricycles, and my brother had one of those cars with pedals, and we were playing. And my mom, my dad would say, when there's company, you better not pass between us. And we knew that, okay? We knew that, I mean, if we were to pass there, my mom would look at me and I said, I'm in trouble. Woe is me. Woe. Okay. It's amazing how people nowadays, the kids, they don't respect parents. That is going away. We need to be very careful. But I remember my mom had told me, I knew, you don't dare pass through here when there's company. And I forgot my mom, and I, oh my goodness, my mom looked at me and I said, whoa, it's me. Okay? I'm in trouble. When Jonah disobeyed Christ, woe is him. Okay, that's so we see the woeful disaster. Disobedience never has a happy ending. Jonah disobedient eventually brought about a storm that impacted many. When we disobey God, it doesn't just affect us. It affects our wives, our children, our neighbors. We spoke about a divorce. It affects many people. Okay? And it's so comfortable. Jonah, I remember, was a prophet. We saw him that he was prophesying back in 2 Corinthians. And, of course, he was prophesying to God's people. So that's comfortable. When God tells us to do something here at the church, it's comfortable. We're comfortable. We're going to sing in the choir. We're going to be outside. We're going to do something in here. It's comfortable. But sometimes God, like Jonah, told him to get out of his comfort zone. And we are not too good of getting out of our comfort zone. Jonah said, God told Jonah, I need for you to go and preach to Nineveh. Nineveh was a city of 120,000 people, and they were all lost, going to hell. Okay, they were going to hell. And so Jonah was told to go. And we see that God has not saved us and left us here on earth just because he has a reason for us here. He says in John 15:16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained, or I command you, okay? I ordain you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, okay? Now, my goodness, my wife dropped my notes, and I don't know. Okay, but see, Jonah was being, we'll see the indifferences of Jonah, the nemesis or the indifference that he had. He had a lack of interest for those people. He had a lack of concern for those people. Okay, he had a lack of sympathy for those people. He didn't care, and there was a good reason why. Okay, there was a very good reason for that. In Revelation 15 and 16, it says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold or hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. It's sad. We're Christians, but when we're just idle, not doing nothing, we're good for nothing. It's amazing how God is saying in Revelation that I will spew you out of my mouth. And then he puts a good illustration when Jonah gave the whale the bellyache. And what did the whale do? I don't want you around, you see. And it's amazing how the Lord is saying, if you are lukewarm, yeah, you used to be on fire, but all of a sudden you stop. And when you are cold, you're lying in bed and you're cold, what are you going to do? Cover yourself. You do something about it. When you are hot, you uncover yourself. You do something about it. But when you're lukewarm, you won't either do this or there. You're just there. And this is where we get in trouble. This is where Jonah got so comfortable. And so we see that he didn't want to get involved. But God tells us to get involved. Yeah, we get involved in the church. And we're going to sing in the choir. We're going to pray here. We're going to do something around. But sometimes God says, okay, I need you to get out of your comfort zone, and I need for you to go and witness out there. And the reason, okay, In Ezekiel 33:8, it says, when I say unto the wicked, okay, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I inquire at thy hand. There was a city that was about to go to hell. We just heard the message of people in hell. Okay, Sunday. What was it, Wednesday? It's no joke. People with no hope, burning. As we speak, we are comfortable. As we're warm, we uncover ourselves. As we are cold, we cover ourselves. There's no hope for them. As we speak right now, those people are burning. And it is our job to go warn them. But what if they don't listen? My wife and I, the last time we went witnessing and we were passing out the tracks, and there's a man over there, and I had put a track. I didn't see him. He was in the driveway, and I put a track on his door, and I was walking, and he got out, and it's like the Lord telling me, get away from there. I don't know if it was the Lord or it was me. Maybe I would have gotten courage and spoken to him, but something told me, get away from there. And so we got away from him. The man got out and just looking at us. And so this is sometimes what causes us to be afraid of going to witness. It's all right to be talking around here about God and all that, but sometimes there's people that do not know God and they'll be cruel. The reason that they are cruel is because they do not know the Savior. And they are people that are going to hell, and it is our job, whether they receive the message or not, but once they get that track and read it, they're responsible. They're responsible, okay? And you don't know if that person, because they read it, they're going to receive the Lord, but God will speak to them, okay? So we go to, and we're not going to read all that, the reasons why we are afraid of going outside of our comfort zone. Ananias, in the book of Acts, and you can write that down, Acts 9, 1 through 31. That's a whole chapter right there. But remember when Saul was on his way to Damascus to go and bring the Christians captive? He was going to torture them. He was going to put him in jail. And he went to the high priest and okay, and he was on his way. Saul was thinking that he was doing God's will, but he wasn't, okay? He wasn't saved. He was a religious person. And as he's going down to Damascus, all of a sudden, the Lord meets him. And what happened? He was blind because of what he's when he saw the Lord. And so the Lord tells Ananias, I need you to go and talk to Saul that he might receive his sight. And Ananias said, Lord, what are you thinking, Lord? You know what? I'll put another blindfold on him. I'll spin him around and send him to a cliff so that he can fall. That guy is, haven't you heard, Lord, that he, all the other damage that he's done to God's people? But God said, go. And Ananias immediately goes. And because he went, he says, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. Isn't that amazing? Because he obeyed and he talked. Paul became one of the greatest apostles ever known because of one person that was able to go to him. And it's amazing. And so now, this is why Jonah didn't want to go. Nineveh was the enemy of God's people. They were cruel, they were big, and they had a bad mouth, and they were just mean. Have you ever gone to a store and you met mean people? I mean, it's my skin just gets goosebumps around there. And I said, I better get away from those guys. But sometimes the Lord, you know what, those mean guys, Lord, if I have a track, all I have to, the worst they can do is tell me that I'm number one and not accept it, but that's all they can do to me. But sometimes that fear of being rejected, okay? So Jonah did not want to go because he didn't care for them. He wanted them, Lord, may you rain a storm on them and kill them all. And so this is why Jonah didn't want, okay? So now we see, I'm sorry, I need that note there. Okay, I'm sorry. When we think of Jonah, okay, Jonah is remembered for what? He's disobedient. When we read, even though he did what he did, but we remember Jonah as being a rebel. It's something that if you were going to get a job, would you like to have in your resume that you are a disobedient person? It's something that we would like to have in our resume. Okay, but if you and I were to die today, okay, would there be people in heaven because of you and me? Can you remember of somebody that died that you witnessed and right now they're with the Lord? I remember people that weren't saved. I witnessed to them. They came to me and said, how do I get saved? We opened the Bible. They accepted the Lord. And those people are now dead. They're up there. And I thank the Lord for how he used not just me, but others for that person to get saved. Or would there be people in hell because we didn't warn them, like Ezekiel says? And one day we'll give an account to God for that. I said, Lord, forgive me for the time that I failed you. And we'll give an account. God, no, we're not going to be sent to hell, but we will give an account to God. So right now that we have that opportunity, just like Jonah had a second opportunity, God is giving us not just one opportunity, but opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to go and witness to others, to be faithful to them. Now, people do not typically think of the preaching or revival when they think about Jonah. Okay? But in reality, however, perhaps the greatest revival in history took place under the preaching of Jonah. Can you imagine with one, just like Saul was told once and he became a great person. Jonah preached to them. In 3 days or so many days, and Nineveh will be destroyed. And what happened? The whole city turned to God because of one preaching. We just never know, but we are. May God give us the strength not to be afraid of witnessing to the lost. We have a responsibility. I know that you and I one day will be in heaven. But there's a lost world, and if we're not concerned for them, if we do not witness to them, so we need to do that. So there is a need for us to do God's will. Okay, while disobedience leaves a tough stain that rarely moves, that rarely is removed. In Isaiah 1:19, it says, If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye should be devoured with a sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. We have decisions to make. Okay? We have a decision to make. What can we learn from the life of Jonah? Okay, that every decision that we make has a destination. Okay, every decision you make has a destination, and that destination will either lead us to God or will lead us in the wrong path. But it's our decisions and I don't have the verse for that, but let me see if I can find. Okay, I think it's in Deuteronomy, but I say, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death. We have decisions right there to make, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life and the length of days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord swore unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob to give them. We have decisions to make. And that's going to end lesson one. And we will be going into lesson two. And it'll be called, the lesson is a call revealed. That'll be the lesson for next week. I'm sorry that I chopped it up a little, but I was already in the end. We had been 3 weeks with lesson one. Isn't that amazing how there's a lot of information? I hope that what we're learning, we are taking in, and that may we use it for his honor and glory. It's amazing how we have hope. And today, he said he's not here. Why? For he has risen from the dead. And so it's all about one day when it's all over, you and I will be with him for all eternity. Okay? But there's people out there that we have a job to do. And the Great Commission, and I'm sorry that today I don't know why I skipped that. But the Great Commission, and with this I'm going to finish. My wife was carrying my book. Oh, I'm blaming her. That's what Adam said. In Matthew 28, here's one of them. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Just like Jonah was told to go and witness to them. In Matthew 28, 18, the Great Commission. Okay? It's not a suggestion. It's a commandment that the Lord has given to all of us. It says here, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Who is he talking to here? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Who's he talking here? To the pastor? To the deacons? He's talking to each and every one of us. That same commandment that God said, go and preach to Nineveh. And sometimes it's not up to you and me. It's the Lord tells us to go, and you look at the meanest person. Oh, and Lord, give me the strength, because sometimes we are afraid. We're in the flesh. We're human. And sometimes we say, well, that guy doesn't deserve to be saved. But all of us didn't deserve to be saved, yet Christ came. And that song that Pastor was saying about the wonder of it all, that Jesus loves me. The wonder of it all. I mean, look in your life and see if you deserve, Lord, I'm going to heaven. Go, Lord, I surely deserve to go to heaven. And I was one of the worst that I said, I do not deserve to be where I'm at. But praise the Lord that the wonders of it all, that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that what I said this morning from your word might touch our hearts, our mind. I lost some of the verses or got messed up. But Father, I pray that it was just the end of the lesson, and may we put it all together and point out we still have a lot to go, but it's taking us step by step, verse by verse, and we'll be probably in chapter 1:1-3, probably till the mid, in the next 2 weeks before we get out of it. But Father, may we be prepared for lesson 2. May you be with Pastor Cook this morning. May you be with each and every one of us, Lord. And Father, we'll give you the honor and glory. In Christ's name we thank you. Amen. Amen.